Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's Monday and that only means one thing, of course. It's time for Radio Newark Sport. And it comes to you tonight from a gridlocked Newark. Please be careful out there tonight. The A1 is closed northbound just at Balderton. They've shut one lane southbound and they're bringing the traffic off as well, and all the traffic seems to be going through Newark, causing absolute chaos while they get what sounds like a very serious accident on the A1 sorted out. So please be patient, please take your time, and please keep your radio on and listen to us. On tonight's show, Newark Rugby Club claw back an 18-point deficit to score 7 tries and beat Loughborough in a Kelham Road Classic. Newark Flowserve mug FC Cavaliers and go into the quarterfinals of the Notts Senior League Cup by a single goal. And a day to forget for Newark Hockey Club, with both the men and the ladies suffering a defeat. Roachie and Paul are back. Rob's in a good mood. So the lads give their views from Lowfields, Kelham Road and the Magnus throughout our show. And active for today's top man's back in the studio. Matt Snee's back with us, and of course that must mean he's going to talk about the sports awards. We'll take a look at the latest round of the FA Cup. If I get the technology to work, I might even tell you what the draw is. Throw into the mix local and national news and the Premier League. And that is Monday night's Radio Newark Sport. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and here we go on what promises to be a whirlwind 1 hour. So I've got no time to mess about, no time to have any banter, because we're that busy. Coming up very soon, we'll take a quick look on our view of what happened in the Premier League on Saturday. See, we will get time to put some opinions in. We always do. Coming up first, though, let's have a look at those local headlines. And a crowd of over 200 saw Collingham beat a Newark Town side containing only 2 local players by 5-1 under the Station Road floodlights on Friday evening. The win puts Collingham up to 5th, while Town hit rock bottom at the Central Midlands North Division. Staying with football, and a classic morning at Lowfields on Saturday saw Chucha Reid retain the autumn primary schools football tournament with a 3-2 final victory over Coddington. Collingham's John Blow finished a fantastic 3rd place, and they're classed as a small school. Well done to them. And from primary schools football to FA Cup football, and RHP bowed out of the competition at the first hurdle, losing by 4-2 at Lowfields against Odeby Town.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
So Tony's here, Matt's here, and we're going to get straight in and leave local sport alone for a minute and talk about the Premier League. So I wanted to have a quick look most Monday nights at what happened in the Premier League, and the headlines that I found is that Manchester City at 7, United and Liverpool play chess, Wenger blames the referee, Conte blames his players, Bilic blames Andy Carroll, and Everton fans blame the manager. There's a lot of blame game from this weekend, wasn't it? Newcastle took 3,500 fans for a 4 p.m. kickoff at Southampton on a Sunday afternoon. You know, how good is that? And Huddersfield have not won in six and only scored one goal, which backs my theory up, is Yorkshire team shouldn't be in the Premier Division in any case. Matt, Manchester City at seven. I don't know if you saw a match of the day or not, but they were sublime.
Yeah, they were. What I thought is, I got back from refereeing at about 4:45, and then I kind of flicked on and Paul Merson said something like that. The worst thing that Stoke did was actually score two goals back, because it woke them back up again.
Yeah.
And some of the football they were playing was unbelievable. A lot of questions were made last year, I think, about Pep and the other sort of headline managers that were in the league. But obviously he's been doing a lot of work over the summer, and they look like a unit that's firing on all cylinders.
I think if you finish above them, you're going to win it, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I think
yeah.
You really are. Do look, United and Liverpool played out. It was fairly inevitable from the outset. That was fairly inevitable. Mourinho was going to park his bus. But there you are. I think he's a better tactician than the other managers. But is he going to get the points? I don't know.
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's an entertainment business. I think that's why we all love it, and that's why everyone talks about it. That's why we're talking about it tonight. That's why the TV deals stretch all the way across the world. It's entertainment, but you know, this is if you're getting paid X million pound a year to do a job, and that job is to finish at a certain position, by any means necessary, you'll achieve that. And he probably thought, I'm not going to go for Liverpool blow for blow, because it could end up 4-3 either way.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I get something out of the game.
And that's what he's done.
And try and go for something else. They've had a good start to the season. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't want to continue that.
I'm sure they will. Wenger blames the referee, Tony. That's not for the first time, is it? Apparently it should never have been a Watford penalty. But the FA have decided today that the Watford player Richarlison will not be punished for simulation after he won his side a penalty. So what they're actually asking is three sort of old men in suits to decide if he dived or not, when the referee decided he didn't. If it was that obvious, the referee would have picked it up.
I'm surprised Arsene Wenger saw it.
Exactly. So, you know, he wants to take a long, hard look at himself and his team before they blame the referee. Chelsea's manager, of course, did blame his players, which I'm not sure is the best thing to do publicly if you want their support in the future. You know, I'm not behind closed doors, scream what you like, but in public?
No.
I'm not sure on that one. I'm really not. Andy Carroll's got to be the idiot of the weekend. I mean, to get booked twice inside 2 minutes for elbowing. I mean, I know when you jump, you do that, but he's a big lad, isn't he?
I've seen it from the other side. So now I'm a referee, I've seen things from the other side of the fence. And it's all about the education is really good now for referees. It's all about transparency with decisions. It's all about explaining, giving people no option. And I'm sure the conversation the referee would have had with Andy after that first one would have been, look, mate, that was close to being a send off for the first one. If you do that again, you're going to be off. And then, lo and behold, 2 minutes later, it takes an even longer run up, about 20 yards this time. I mean, the lad's 6'6", probably about 14, lean, as lean as anything. I mean, they're absolute athletes, these guys. And he's gone flying in. I mean, what is he going to do? And, you know, the definition of the law, it's at least reckless, if not excessive force. So it's a booking or a sending off straight away for that one. It's just easy, and to be fair to Slaven Bilic, he's quite an open and honest manager anyway, but he was bang on right. You know, referee has got no choice.
I'm not a Stuart Atwell fan by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I mean, even I could have seen that one. I want to just finish off on Newcastle, because in the last couple of hours Ashley's come out and actually officially put the club up for sale, and he wants it sorted out and done, as he puts it, by Christmas. And of course there's probably 100,000 Geordies jumping up and down and celebrating. Just be careful what you get. He's got a lot of bad points, as Mike Ashley, but he's turned the club round to a club that now makes money and not lose millions. He's turned the club round to what I think is the best stadium in that division by a long, long way. The atmosphere in there and the stadium itself is second to none. Just be careful what you wish for. If it works out great, then whoever buys it is buying the best set of fans in the Premier Division. And they're buying potentially one hell of a club. But as Leeds United have found out, and other clubs around him, there's a lot of idiots out there that's capable of buying football clubs.
They're getting rid of one of them.
Well, they probably are, but I don't know. I've just got that in the back of my mind.
It's the first time I've heard anybody defend Mike Ashley. You get strung up on the Gallagate.
Yeah, I know I would. I know I would. And thankfully, you can't hear this in Newcastle.
The barman and girls in the hospitality suite will be getting some extra respite anyway, won't they, at half-time?
I don't know. We will see. We will see. If they get the right people in, that club could go Manchester City-ish. They could. Right. Matt's here, and Matt's here for one reason. We're nearly halfway through October. Sports Awards month. Those nominations, we think you all need a reminder, and you're going to get another one before the month's finished, because we think you need another reminder. Don't sit back and leave it to somebody else, like he sat back and left it to somebody else at Newark R&M, because Newark R&M have done it. Theirs is in. So you don't have to worry about that.
I've forgotten all about it.
That's exactly why I'm here.
That's why he's here, you see. For the Tony Smiths of this world.
No,
Matt Sneeze here.
I've not forgotten about the sports awards. I've forgotten I was going to nominate.
Matt, your plug, go.
Fantastic. Right. Very quickly, very efficiently. First of all, thank you to the people that have voted in our sports awards. Secondly, if you haven't, okay, I'll go through the categories in a minute, but if you haven't, please, 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 please do nominate. Don't leave it to somebody else. Okay, it will need you to push it through. Once you've pushed it through, we will do all the hard work after that. So, nomination process needs to go on our website. So it's www.activefortoday.co.uk. If you go on there, on the scrolling screen, you will have the Sports Awards nominations 2017 banner. You click on that, and you click your way through, and you work your way through the form. One thing I would say is, if you've got access to either a desktop computer or a laptop computer, it's a little bit easier to do it on that than it is a mobile phone, but you can do it on either nonetheless. All right, the 12 categories.
Let me just grab my sheet.
Slick.
Just a reminder. Hey, it's been a long day. It's been a long day.
It's okay, Matt. We can edit that.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. We're not live, are we?
No, Lord,
no.
There's no one listening. Don't worry. Crack on.
We have Junior Sports Person of the Year, Junior Team of the Year, Junior Disabled Sports Person of the Year, Sam White Junior Volunteer of the Year, Senior Team of the Year, Senior Sports Person of the Year, Senior Disabled Sports Person of the Year, Volunteer of the Year, Coach of the Year, Club of the Year, School... No, that's in the Junior Sports Team this year, and the Outstanding Contribution to Sport. So all of those awards are for achievements within the last 12 months. So if it's a winter sport, the previous winter season ended sort of April 2017. And if it's a summer sport, it'd be the summer season that has just finished. The only one that's slightly different to that is the Outstanding Contribution to Sport, which goes over a longer period, so it's something that's committed. It's basically a lifetime achievement award. So that is all of the awards. We have received a decent amount of nominations so far, but not enough. So please, 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 get online, get on your phones, get on your... When you're waiting for someone to do swimming lessons, or you're waiting in traffic, obviously, if it's legal and safe to do so, get yourself...
You've heard our traffic reports, haven't you?
I do listen. Get yourself online and nominate these forms. It is... One thing I would say, for the people I know that have received a nomination, it's some... With these awards, yes, winning it and coming runner-up is a fantastic achievement, but actually, the personal pride that somebody gets from being nominated trumps everything else that we do. That recognition, someone saying, I thought of you, I thought of this team, I thought of this person. Now, some of these volunteers that are putting thousands of hours in, can you just think about them? Can you just put a nomination forward for them and explain why you think they deserve this award? My number's on the website. It's www.activefortoday.co.uk. If you can't find it for any reason or are having troubles, come into one of our leisure centres, Google our phone number, give the guys at Radio Newark a call. We will help you get these nominations in. So, I'd like to thank Mick for letting me on again. I will be on again in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, we will.
Just to mop it up before the end of October, just to push through these final nominations. And hopefully, I'll look forward to putting all these nominations together and reading about the fantastic achievements that people have Made and done in Newark and Sherwood in 2017.
I mean, the oddest thing that I hear, and I heard it so many times last year, well, what about so-and-so? What, did you do anything about it? Well, no, I didn't. But he would have been a good winner, wouldn't he? Or she would have been a good winner. Yes, but put it in just 5 minutes. If somebody's had a cracking year or a cracking lifetime, it doesn't take a lot for somebody to go for 5 minutes to fill in that form. I don't know who's going to win. I've got no influence of who's going to win. I do know there's individuals and there's teams out there that should be put forward. And all we can do is knock on the door and say, please do it. It's up to you to actually do it. We've got Lee Chapman. Oh, you're going to say something.
But what sort of idiot would forget to do something like
you?
That? Oh, yeah.
We have league champions. We have internationals. We have world-class internationals out there. You know, come on, 5 minutes, get it done. You're being mumbled at, you're being moaned at, but do it, please. Because for the person that actually wins these sports awards, or the person that actually nominated, even if you just nominated and you don't win, I got nominated last year, and I tell you what, that little diploma that we got is in pride of place in the office, well, the front bedroom. It's there, because I was so pleased that I was there. I was in with a chance. It made my year. And that's what it does to people. Somebody's got to make an effort.
Who got it? It was a dog in the end, wasn't it?
It was the fantastic and well-deserved Tim Birch.
Oh, sorry, Tim.
But you want to call Tim? He's an ex-policeman, but you want to call Tim? You called him.
Always loved him.
So, come on. You've been mumbled at. Matt's done it properly. I've had a go at you. Get out there and get them nominations in. I want to see him that busy. I don't know which way he's turning. and that means in December, when we come to you with our show to give the awards out, it'll be a cracking week again, like it was last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a perfect opportunity for you to showcase your club as well. So once we've received all the nominations, come the 1st of October, we will we'll process them, put them all together. We invite a select panel to come across and vote on each award. And then everybody will be notified of the award. So some will be in secret, depending on how the nomination is. Some will be in secret, some will be known about. And then for the week commencing the 5th of December, what we will do... Is it 5th of December or the 4th of December?
Yes.
The Monday.
Monday
the 5th. We will arrange to come to your club training night, your club venue, and present the awards. This was absolutely amazing last year. Some of the receptions that we got, some of the collaborative efforts between the clubs, just gave us an indication of how these clubs work and how well they do together. We come and present it in your training environment, and the surprise on some people's faces is fantastic. It makes it all worthwhile. It makes the late nights, the early mornings, everything that you do to develop sports within this district, within this town, it makes it all worthwhile when you see moments like that. And we have some fantastic athletes within this area. Reading some of the messages that are coming in already, the diverse amount of sports that are covered as well these days. It's unbelievable how, you know, people get into certain sports, how they achieve certain levels. It's ace. And what we want to do is we want to showcase that. Lots of you in maybe traditionally underrepresented sports say, oh, we never get any coverage. All right, this is your chance. This is your chance to get out there. The canoeing, the kayaking, the taekwondo, all of these different sports that are amazing within their own right. It is your chance to showcase this. So it's great to be able to nominate someone for a particular achievement, a team, a coach, a volunteer that's putting countless hours that might not get the exposure that a footballer gets. Okay, this is your chance to do so.
Okay, coming up next, Craig Roach, telling us about Flow Service, bit of daylight robbery at the weekend. We're keeping a close eye on the FA Cup first round draw. I've got my roundup of the 4th qualifying round still to come, but we're keeping a close eye on the first round draw because Matt wants to know where Gainsborough are going. He's a Gainsborough boy, really. And he's desperate to find out where Gainsborough are. And I can tell him that Lincoln City are going to play AFC Wimbledon. And Grimsby Town are going all the way to Plymouth Argyle. Shaw Lane out of the...
That's Barnsley, isn't it?
Barnsley, yeah. Who are doing ever so well at the moment, are at home to Mansfield Town. That's going to be a bit of a cracker. I think that may well get, at the minute, the television one. We will see! Radio New World. Still looking at this FA Cup draw. Notts County are at home to Bristol Rovers. But back after a week's peace and quiet, back to your airwaves, we welcome back Craig Roach. Craig, do you enjoy your little break?
I did. I wouldn't say it was peace and quiet to
make no,
to your own 4-year-old, but yeah, it was a nice break.
But it was a good break.
Yeah, it was lovely.
While you was away, you went out to the Notts Senior Cup.
Yes.
You've no doubt had your people tell you all about that one. And it was cup again this weekend.
Yeah.
Where you went to FC Cavaliers, which is never an easy place to go to. I think they're 4th or 5th in the table, with a slightly understrength side, and come back with a 1-0 victory. So that's absolutely fantastic. I am told in certain quarters it was a bit to sort of want get the goals and get out of their job. At the end of the day, though, you won 1-0. You're in the quarterfinals, and whoever played well and didn't play well, it's irrelevant. You won 1-0.
That's right.
What was your take on it?
That's right. Like you say, it's not an easy place to go. They play on a 3G surface, which is never easy to adapt to when you're not used to playing on them. Plus, the club's not beaten them for 3 years, so they are a bogey team. And like I say, this season they are a lot stronger. They're having a good season so far. They're taking points off a lot of people. So, on reflection, to come back, it was a bit of a nondescript game. There wasn't a lot of action at either end. No team really dominated, but. I wouldn't say they really threatened us at any point. Massively, they had a couple of chances. Nathan Burrows hardly had anything to do. But equally, we didn't really put their keeper under much pressure either. You know, we got the important goal that we needed. And like you said, we'll come away with a win, and that's us in the next round. So
when did the goal come, Gray?
It was about 20 minutes. Remember, right? Mark Lattard scored it. People know me Billy, but Mark Lattard is his real name.
I sense there's a groundswell of Saturday football taking the importance that certain ones of us have always thought it should take. And I think Saturday football is coming back into prominence. That mainly, you're doing well, aren't you? And people want to play for a team that's doing well. But are you finding that Saturday football's on the up? And before you answer that, Craig, the news that Matt Snee's been waiting for. Gainsborough Trinity are at home to Slough Town.
Wow.
So, there you go.
That is one for the TV, isn't it, that?
You wanted a home match? You've got a home match.
The neutrals loving that one, aren't they?
Yeah, no pleasing some people.
That's one for staying home and watching the TV.
Right. Craig, back to Saturday football taking the prominence that it probably should take.
Yeah, that's right. Like you say, over the years, it's not always been that way locally. But tables seem to be turning a little bit now. I think that also has a bit of something to do with the decline of the Sunday football. It's not quite so attractive to people anymore. But yeah, like you say, there's something there for them to go for now. There's a reason for them to commit on a Saturday fully.
People are now playing on a Saturday and not on a Sunday. And not many years ago, it was the other way around. And I agree with Briggy. One Saturday medal is worth 20 Sunday medals. I really do. If you come back with it, if you get a medal on a Saturday, you've achieved something.
That's right. I said that to the lads on the first cup game we played. Says you know it's a cup game. Bread and butter is the league for us this year. That is the main target. But cup games, you know, there's a chance to get some silverware on a Saturday, which, like you say, are hard to come by. Most of the lads that are playing at this level on a Saturday have got suitcases full of Sunday trophies. They've probably only got one, if that, on a Saturday. So
yeah, and that's
the precious ones. They don't win the suitcase; they go on the mantelpiece.
This Notts Senior League Trophy, of course, used to be the old Notts Alliance Senior Cup, of which Flowserve, under guises of Warrington Simpson's IDP, have won it 5 times.
Yeah.
And it's the only cup I've ever slept with. And I've got a picture of my daughter.
That's a good one to sleep with.
That is the trophy. I mean, I haven't seen a better trophy anywhere than that one.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's a fantastic trophy. It really is.
There's not that many teams in it. So I think already we're down to like quarterfinals.
It's the quarterfinal stage. Wollerton's still there, but you've beaten them already. You know, I'll do the Kevin Keegan bit now. I would love that trophy to be on this desk with you in this studio come next spring. I really would. That would
we'll certainly do our best.
That would be absolutely fantastic. So no pressure, Craig. I know you want the league, but I want that trophy.
Yeah, we want everything. We'll
good lad. Who have you got this weekend?
Step up again, back to the league. We're away at Bilbao this Saturday, who have got pushed themselves into second now.
What's another toughie?
First against second on Saturday, so 6-pointer for them and a big one for us. Mm-hmm. Two big ones on the trot now, Bilbao away and then Sandy Acre at home. So two more tougher tests for us than what we've had recently.
That's what you play football for, mate.
Yep.
It's no good having easy games. Craig, we'll catch up with you again next Monday night. And let's we're going to be talking about three more points in the bag.
I hope so.
Next Monday.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, Craig.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. Cheers, cheers. Bye. Craig Roach there. And Gainsborough against Slough. Well, there you go. That's going to get the pundits talking. Truro City, the first Cornish team, as I'm going to go on about later on, for 50 years, are away to Charlton Athletic.
Ooh, that's a good draw, that.
Wow.
So I think they'll say, thank you very much for that one. Right, next up on our list of chief reporters is Rob Warden. But first of all, let's have a quick look at the national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And it's been confirmed that Gareth Southgate's England will not be among the top seeds for December's World Cup. It means they could face tougher opponents in Russia. Germany, Brazil, Argentina and France are all potential rivals. England will be in pot two based on their 12th place in the latest world rankings, which does mean they'll avoid Spain. Well, that's probably slight consolation, Matt, isn't it?
12? That's dangerous, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I'll take that.
Meanwhile, Northern Ireland won't be seeded for tomorrow's World Cup playoff draw after dropping down the rankings. They'll take on either Italy, Switzerland, Croatia or Denmark for a place in next year's tournament. I mean, you just don't want Italy, do you?
No, it shouldn't be seeded that. They should just
it should around. Everybody be in the pot together. It really should. But we'll see who the Irish get this time tomorrow.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Straight back to the phone lines, and the comeback of 2017. And I left at half time because I had to go on somewhere else. And when I left at half time, I was that despondent. I thought, there's no way this is going to be a cricket score by the time we've finished. And when I read the final score, I thought, I wish I'd stopped. Rob Wardman is our man from New York Rugby Club. Rob, a tremendous second half. Where did it come from?
Very good question, Mick. Evening, folks. An amazing match, yes. I know it's only a game of junior rugby, but I've watched a lot of rugby in my time, and I must admit I've never quite seen a game like that one. We were 33-8 down just before half-time, and I must have thought it was one of the poorest performances I've seen by a Newark team in a long time. We conceded 5 tries, and we're really down and out. And I think we've got a guy, Mikey Boy, to thank for getting us back into the game. He's our visiting New Zealander. He got 2 tries in a 5-minute spell towards the end of the first half, which got us back into the game. And he was playing so well, he took a terrific restart. You may have seen that, Mick, before you left. And he got a badly cut eye for his endeavours. So when he wobbled off just before half time, I thought, crikey, we're down and out now. And but in the second half, we turned it around to end up winning 42-39. You want me to go on?
Yes.
In the second half, we came back. A couple of tries from James Stark. He took his chances very well out wide. Billy Charles got another try. He's a bit of a try poacher at the moment. He's in good form. Even then, we got ahead. I think 30. I haven't got the scores here. We got ahead by a point. Even then, Loughborough got a penalty to get back. So we were down 39-37 going into the last five minutes. We got a penalty very close in, kicked for the corner, set up the line out, and we rumbled them over, and the prop forward Mason Coulomb scored, which proved to be the winning try, 42-39 ahead. And even then, in injury time, Loughborough had a couple of chances to get back and win the game. We held them out, they knocked on at one stage, we managed to upset a scrummage and kick the ball away, and it was no wonder their coach kicked the water bucket at the end of the game.
It sounds like the best comeback since Lazarus.
Well, he's on that. It was something to talk about. You would never have thought it. After half an hour, we had played some of the most really poor defensive play across the board, really. We didn't look interested.
Every time Loughborough got the ball in that half hour, they looked like they were going to score a try.
Yeah. Yes.
They just got the ball and ran. I've watched the under 18 girls against Tamworth yesterday, and it was pretty much the same as that first half.
I know they won by a lot. I think the only thing that gave me hope in the first half was the way we had scored our tries. Dave Garland, our captain, had got a try back for us in that 33-8 scoreline at the beginning in the first half hour. But I don't think without Boyd's inspiration towards the end of the first half, I don't think we would have got back in the game. That gave us a bit of a taste for rugby, and the second half was much more of a normal game. The first half was very much you score, we score, you score, we score in some ways, although Loughborough did it very well, and our defence was very poor.
Garland sounds like a headline writer's dream, Rob.
Garland?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Off you go, Tony.
Yeah, I think he was thinking you was a headline writer, Rob. I've seen his headlines.
Okay.
But again, it's another victory. They are third in the table.
League win. It's our fourth in a row, fifth if you count the walkover. We're third in the league, and we've got another home draw in the cup.
Oh, this is breaking news. Excellent.
We've always got breaking news, Michael. We've got a home draw week Saturday, October 28th. We're at home to Old Laurentian of Rugby.
And I'll just put Rugby.
They've already been on the phone, and we've agreed the kickoff at 2:15.
Right. Are they going to come?
Well, at this stage, they're coming, yes.
Right. We can only hope for the best. I've seen a couple of tweets today, Rob, and it was a bit of a rallying call, I thought, for the second, third, and fourth, because Newark is much more than the first team. Rugby is so important at Kelham Road, and you do get four teams out on the same day. But I think not just at Newark, everywhere, it's probably going to be a bit of a struggle.
It's a difficult season for junior clubs to get teams out, and we're at Newark are struggling like anybody else. So we're having a rally round to get. We've got four fixtures scheduled for next Saturday. The first and seconds are going to Matlock. The first team are in the league game, and the seconds are in a pennant. The thirds are due to play Nottingham Corsairs, and the fourths are playing a team from Mellish. So we are hoping to field 14. We haven't fielded four teams on a Saturday this season. We fielded three most weeks. It's been a difficult season for all kinds of reasons. A slow start. That cup walkover didn't help. We had a home opponent. We missed out on staging a home game that Saturday when Stewarts and Lloyds cried off. It's difficult, and we're into the rugby season now. Summer holidays are over, so we're hoping that some of the regulars will come back and get their kit on. As they're saying, you're a long time retired.
Yeah, and enjoy a game of rugby. I've got Matt Sneehan here tonight, Robbie. He's some active for the day, and we've been talking about sports awards, and I've already tapped Mr. Duddles up about the junior section going in for the Club of the Year award, because one of the top six junior clubs, Newark, in England, and the Colts went to Bishop Stortford at the weekend. A very good Bishop Stortford's team.
On Sunday morning, they went down the A1 to Bishop Stortford in Hertfordshire, who are a National One club that they play. I'm trying to work it out. Three levels higher than we do, so that any victory over a team from Bishop Stortford, whether girl, men, boys or girls, they're a big club from my memory, and a well organised club. Now, not unlike Newark, but again, you're down in the London conurbation in Hertfordshire, a well heeled club, I would think, and we won 24-22, and that's a very good win. Yeah, again, my phrase, hats off to all involved, you know, for taking the fixture and engineering the victory. It shows what, you know, the standard of play we are bringing through.
It also shows the good name Newark's got, if clubs like British and Bishop Stortford down there are coming to Newark and saying, come and play us.
Oh, yes, no. Again, I think it shows how, you know, the good clubs want to travel at that level and to get good opposition. Obviously, the week before we beat Mellish at that level, you know, quite easily. So perhaps we're having to travel a bit further to get better opponents without being disrespectful to, you know, the local clubs.
Your friend Dusty Hayes making a few waves and a few headlines in the rugby press. As it says here, the former Northampton Academy boss Dusty Hayes insists England player development can be improved. And a slammed Premiership clubs for paying overinflated wages to top stars, thereby reducing squad sizes and chances for younger players. What's your thoughts on that one? I've got him! I've got him!
Well, Dusty, yes. Right, I want to put a thinking cap on that one.
I mean, what he's basically saying is
it's not unlike the football Premiership. It's
yes.
Premiership rugby, and they've had 3 years of more of escalating costs and wage player demands, bigger TV contracts, and the money's largely gone to the players, and the clubs have got in a sort of a not unlike the Premiership football, a race to sign the big names. Northampton have done it. I think Dusty's speaking now without his Northampton hat on, but Northampton have been very, very good recruiters of overseas players, and Dusty's been every bit of part of that. So it's a real money race, is the Premiership. I think but they're now feeling the effects of it, and they realise that there's only so much money in the pot. And yes, the more you play, the more overseas players you bring in on however the Brit do, and obviously it reduces the chances of the English player like in the Premiership football.
It really does smack of football, I'm afraid, Rob. Directors of rugby are complaining they haven't got big enough squads, but they've got a 7.5 million salary cap.
I don't believe, you know, most of the Premiership, please, let's not cry for the Premiership clubs. And they've got over 40 players in senior squads.
That should be enough, surely.
They're all on salary caps on budgets of £3 to £4 million a year. So even after they're senior players, they are very good academy players. So I don't cry anything for the Premiership clubs.
I don't blame you, Rob, as ever. A privilege to talk to you, Mr. Rugby. We'll catch up with
you. We're away to Matlock.
Yes,
Saturday.
That's going to be tough.
We're going over to Matlock, yes. So as you know, Newark, we're not great travellers, but we'll see.
And Matlock will not let you back into the game like Loughborough did, I don't think.
It was an amazing game Saturday.
So you've got to start it well, but let's bask in Saturday first.
Yeah, OK.
Lovely. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye. The wonderful Rob Wardman, and that's another fantastic club, Matt, that really should be filling them forms in and getting them sent in to you.
Yeah, absolutely. The club's extremely well run. Loads of volunteers, loads of people to nominate. Make it you. Don't leave somebody else. Make it you.
Right, Matt, I think you've got to rush off. Or you can stay, whichever you want to do.
Ooh.
You're very welcome.
Tempting.
But what we're going to do now is, I've already told you a couple of the FA Cup draws, but how did those teams get into that first round draw is what we need to be finding out now.
Please.
Listen and learn.
Ah. Yes, indeed. Fine piece of music.
Exactly.
Has our producer been busy again?
Yes, he has. Well, I'm playing this quite simply because Noah Keats scored both goals as Truro City became the first Cornish side since Falmouth Town in 1969 to reach the first round of the FA Cup proper. And I think that's a fantastic achievement by Truro. And on the back of what we did the other week with Ed Sheeran, some Cornish music by a Yorkshire band. Yes.
Welcome to Radio Newark Sport. Newark. Sport.
Elsewhere in the FA Cup. We like the FA Cup. At least until the big boys get there. 2,287 saw Hartlepool United come from behind to beat South Shields 2-1 in the big North East derby. South Shields 1-0 up at half-time. Hartlepool's come back in the second half. If you don't take your chances. I wanted Terry Wogan singing it, yeah. I couldn't get that one.
MC Bradley.
Okay, remember I started out at the start of this AV Cup run supporting Whitley Bay? Well, by mid-October, that sort of morphed into Kidderminster, and they moved into the first round with an easy 2-0 victory over Chester, two ex-football league clubs. Mm. Of course, Chester's not, is it? Because it's reformed.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that they've got to this stage since the reformation. Hereford, they brought back memories of those glory days when they reached the first round for the first time proper since they reformed, another club that died and come back. They won 2-1 over the National League side, Eastleigh. Quick. Right, Mega Rich Billericke. Now, you know their chairman is a multi-millionaire, so he's decided he's also the best manager they can have. So he's made himself manager. You can do when you own the club, I suppose, can't you? I wonder if Mike Ashley can do that in Newcastle. No! You ready? Why are you shaking your head, Matchney?
Other radio stations are available.
He's decided to be the manager, and he needed an 89th-minute equaliser at Brackley. Gainsborough sprung an upset. Hey, oh, Matt, Gainsborough sprung an upset. 2-1 victory at National League North leaders Harrogate.
Yeah, goals by Nathan Jarman and Matt Jacklin.
There you go, you see.
You see, I do read.
The boy knows it. Tony's roadmap reached Cheshire with Nantwich Town, and then 1-1 draw of Kettering means they've got to meet again. But some of the big names bowing out was Wrexham, Torquay, Scarborough, and FC United of Manchester.
Oh.
Have all gone.
They lost at Telford.
But Truro City's still in it. That's my FA Cup. FA Cup roundup.
I think you can safely say that was unique, Mick.
Did you know that 625 non-league teams entered the FA Cup this season, and 32 of them go into the first round proper? I'm not sure. That's a big enough number, Matt. The FA Cup, it's not just for the big boys, and you know, I don't know, FA Cup, FA Trophy, FA Vase, it all gets complicated. I mean, it's the Vase this weekend and teams playing two out of the three of them, don't they? And it all gets complicated, but I love the FA Cup at this stage. When it gets to the fourth round, I lose interest.
Yeah.
Right up until the fourth round, even the third round, when, you know, somebody might get a big boy. But after the fourth round, I mean, Lincoln kept us going last year, didn't they?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah. That was special, that. That was almost a once in a generation thing. I mean, Chesterfield did it in sort of 96, 97, didn't they? Got to the semis. Yeah. That sort of level of achievement. But yeah, I mean, it's not just the magic of the cup as well as the financial side of things. It's things now. So, I'll pull it out against the Gainsborough Slough. As much as we laugh and joke about it, both teams there going into that thinking, well, we'll get 40% of the gate receipts, you get 18 grand if you go through. Both teams are rubbing their hands together, really, because even though it's not a huge spectacle,
18 grand to them is a lot of money.
Both teams now, one of those teams is going to be playing in the second round.
Yeah.
So both of these also get a second bite of the cherry with some of the big clubs, and also that's a wage bill for X weeks.
Yeah.
There's that side of things as well.
You know, I love it. Yeah. Over 2,000 screaming Geordies at South Shields.
Are the Geordies or the Mackhams or the Monkey Hangers? What are they?
You've got to be careful. 500 Cornish, and they are Cornish, coming up from Truro. You know, this is the FA Cup. This is the proper FA Cup. And then you get Man United reserves and Liverpool's A team and Arsenal's youth team playing in it, and it ruins everything.
You can't call them Monkey Hangers in Hartlepool. You get hung.
I'm sure there'll be somebody else out there.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
The third of our dedicated clubs is, of course, Newark Hockey Club. And Whereas Slough Sayre and the rugby boys enjoyed a good weekend, the hockey club didn't enjoy quite as good a weekend. But we're going to start on a bit of a high, and we're going to start by welcoming Paul Halfpenny, who was missing last week. He was away. He was away on a course, but he's back with us on Radio New York tonight. So good evening, Mr. Halfpenny, sir.
Good evening, mate.
Let's start with the ladies' force. We don't normally get much time to mention the ladies' force, but a battling 4-4 draw for them.
Well, I've known senior teams actually collapse against Arnold. I've seen fully grown women coming off in tears after playing against Arnold. Arnold have somewhat of a reputation to be very physical. And we got a very young team out. We've got one or two old hands in that team. But on the whole, it was a very young team. And you know what? That team battled. I think they led at every single point. 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, etc. And we thought they'd got it. They scored the fourth goal to go up 4-3. And what do you know? Arnold came back and nicked one. So, a bit disappointing, but a very, very good result, really. 4-4 against Arnold.
Even Arnold won't argue with the fourth coach. I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah.
So that was good, but disappointing for the ladies' ones. When I saw that result, I was a little bit surprised.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't see that one coming either. I thought Derby had a fairly poor start to the season. I thought, well, I think they'll go over there, and I think New York will sneak it. But I was playing mixed hockey myself yesterday in a mixed league over at Beeston. And we've got a couple of Newark players playing in that team, and Megan Cocker being one of them. So I sort of sat afterwards just sort of picking the bones out of what happened on Saturday. And in her words, basically it was a decent first half. It could have been better, but very, very unlucky to go a goal down right at the end of the half. Virtually at half time went a goal down and went to piece of second half. She really can't put a finger on what happened. Very disjointed play, misplaced passes, and thoroughly deserved to lose in all accounts.
Hopefully a bit of a wake-up call for them, because we're hoping for better things than that. I think the Northampton match was probably the seeds that everything wasn't going perfectly, and credit to Northampton, they actually come back and made what they got out of that one. But
yeah, I think that was Market Harbour.
Market Harbour.
Yeah, 2-0 up, and to let Market Harbour come back was a bit slack. But that's all down to game management, isn't it? But it's a new system that the ladies are playing, and according to Megan, sort of part of the team kept the system, know how it should be played, and some of the team can't quite grasp the new system. So it's all still got to come together. A new system, new coach. It's early days yet.
It will come.
To be perfectly honest with you, there is knocking on the door for so many years now that maybe sort of they're going to be the team to watch in this league. But York will come good.
There is that much talent in that first team. It will come right. Let's have a quick trip over to the men and the men's ones, if we can, Paul.
Yeah, I'll never get that hour and a half back, I'll tell you that. It's it was the most awful game to watch ever, I think. And that's no bad reflection on Newark men's first team. I thought the guys did really well. The real sort of issue there was the state of the pitch. It was pretty much like playing on Skegness Beach. And with two umpires that were not appointed umpires, but basically just members of the club that could blow a whistle. And
ouch.
It's always very, very worrying when our goalkeeper, a very good umpire, is having to shout instructions to the two umpires that are blowing because they didn't know what they were doing. It was just worrying. We tried to play our way, which is, you know, playing on a decent pitch, playing on a decent surface where you can move the ball over distance, speed. And we just got caught out first half by the fact that the ball just slowed up in the sand. And they read it. There's been numerous complaints by many teams about pitch. It's certainly it's certainly an asset for Leicester Westleigh, playing on that pitch, playing on it week in, week out, and training on it. They know how to play it, and I think other teams struggle. But second half, I mean, it's not a true reflection. 5-0 is not a true reflection. Went 2-0 down, quite deservedly so, first half. But second half, their three goals came from breakaways after we were pressing. So, you know, the guys played well, and credit to Luke Pearce, who, as well, who made his full first team debut on Saturday. Played very, very well.
So, on paper, not the best of weekends if you look at the results and the results alone, but if you take that out of it, there are some positives, Paul.
Well, the teams that I watched, so the ladies' twos, the ladies' threes, the ladies' fours, brilliant performances. Brilliant performances against quality opposition. I mean, take the ladies' twos, for example. They got absolutely spanked last year by Manning, and this year could have pinched it. Four goals, second half. Really, really good performance. Men's twos and threes, again, great performances. Just a 1-0 loss. And the third team, travelling away, got spanked virtually every week last year. And a 3-0. That may yet be overturned, by the way, but we'll see.
Watch this space. Yeah. Well, let's see what this weekend brings, Paul. And the ladies are on the travels again. Where are your men?
My men are at Derwent.
So they're on the travels as well?
They are. They're at Wirksworth Leisure Centre. Very picturesque place, surrounded by hills. It's lovely. No. Just hope it doesn't snow.
Let's hope not. Paul, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you again next Monday night with some good performances and hopefully the results to go with it this time.
Hopefully. Always a pleasure, mate.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Paul Halfpenny there, completing our trio of experts. As opposed to me and you, or just sit here. Right, tomorrow night.
Nice to have experts.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Lily Davis is coming in. If you remember, right back into spring, she was the first girl from the Newark Academy to get to the National Schools show jumping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's that this weekend. She goes on Wednesday, so she's coming in tomorrow night to tell us all about it. And Andrew Lowe's going to join us because most of you will now know by now what happened to Nathan McIntosh at the weekend. And Andrew Lowe's going to come on here and give his interesting opinion of it. I've already heard what Carl Greaves thinks to it all, and I've never heard Carl sound so upset and disgusted in his 30 years in a boxing arena. But Andrew's going to join us tomorrow night, and the story's going to come out in full. Amber's going to join us. It's Tuesday. Amber's got to join us. Massive, massive weekend for Newark Athletic Club. It was the North Midlands on Saturday, and it was the Mini League, the Cross Country Mini League on Sunday. 21 young Newark runners there on Sunday. And of course, they all went over to Mark Eaton Park at Derby on Saturday. So another busy, busy night tomorrow night. John Wells is going to join us on Wednesday.
John Wells. I'm looking forward to that one.
Leicester, Newcastle Falcons. He's joining us on Wednesday. And Matt Ridyard's here on Thursday. We're talking all things Forest. We're talking all things European.
I'm not looking forward to that one.
And Tony Smith will not even be here on Thursday, I wouldn't have thought, because he's completely out of his depth, because his team, Dirty Leeds, have never, ever won a European Cup. Don't forget, all these are podcasts, so if you missed anything and you're desperate to hear all this again, including the floral dance, you know what to do. Go to the website and listen again.
Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7.